joining us on this beautiful 9th of January. A great start to 2014. Good morning.
Ciao, buongiorno tutti.
My name is Jason, and I'm joined by Ashley, whose hair is hysterical this morning. We are straight out of bed. We stayed up late last night.
Yes, we're party animals.
We are. Well, let's set it up. Set it up. Set up the podcast. Go ahead. Oh, okay, me. Yeah, that's my job. Okay, I'm Jason, joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley. Together, we own, operate, and live at La Tavola Marque, a little agriturismo, a stone farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, Piobico, Italy, a little piece of paradise, yes?
It is. You know what? I realized we've never said what La Tavola Marque means.
Oh, well, go ahead. Well, it's bad translation.
It is a bad translation, but it means the Marque table. And we chose that name because we felt like life in Italy is always surrounded by the table. It always comes back to food one way or another, whether it's this podcast or life or heading to the market or
our expanding waistlines.
Our expanding waistlines. It always comes right back to the food.
And really, it should be what? La Tavola della Marche, no?
La Tavola della Marche. Of the marshes, because that's what this area is. But that's not what we named our website when we didn't speak Italian years ago, so.
Speaking of not speaking very good Italian, last night, this podcast is a little late in the morning, 9:30, which is like, wow. Whew. It might as well be midnight.
We wasted the day.
We have wasted the day. We were up late last night because my Italian has gotten terrible. Like, we have just not progressed.
Guests who speak English, we get stuck at home, and I'm making excuses, but
it's straight up laziness.
It is. It's horrible.
We have not. This is our sixth year in Italy, and from here we should be fluent. I should be able to take a college level, university level course in Italian, and I feel like my Italian's going the opposite way. So,
like the dodo.
What?
You say it's going the way of the dodo?
Wow, that came out of nowhere.
You just said it's going the opposite direction.
So last night I was on, I tried to sign up. There's a university for foreigners in Siena and in Perugia. In fact, that brings us to our, I'll let that go. But so I signed up for this class. It's an online course because with the weather being crappy and just the winter time, it's hard for us to get out of here on a regular basis sometimes.
Yeah. Just to expand on that for a second, it gets dark at 4. If classes start after that, that's just too late in the day for me. But it is. We are so far kind of up here and isolated that starting to be it's just been actually so warm here, but the mid-January into February, it gets so cold and unpredictable that we can't say that every Tuesday at 5:30 we could be somewhere.
Especially a place like, they offer these online web-based courses.
So which I'm could like, be really great. Interesting for other people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally interesting. You could take a university level class here in Italy from anywhere in the world. So I signed up for it, and this was before Christmas. Didn't hear back, blah, blah, blah. Finally, like the week the class is supposed to start, this is in November, I guess, get an email from the guy. Oh, yes, this class is canceled. We will let you know when it is rescheduled.
I think we mentioned it before, too, that site is – there's not a single place to translate the site to another language.
Okay, that's hysterical as
it
well.
It is hysterical.
If you are a university called the University for Stranieri, for foreigners, why – now, I understand – like, I can understand what they say, but – why would you not have your site in multiple languages?
I don't know. That I find it hysterical. Hysterical. It should almost not even be in Italian.
No, it should be in Italian,
yes,
but there should be a place for German, Spanish.
English.
You are a linguistics university that solely caters to non-native speaking Italians. And your site is written in straight up
Shakespearean
Italian. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so then the holidays came and I got discouraged and blah 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 blah. But when I called the Godster yesterday, old Dr. Gaggi, and we were talking about I needed the number for the plumber, and I asked him for something and I pronounced the word, I can never say this one, plumber, is idriatico. No, that's not it. Idriatico. Hold on. Let me look up exactly how to say this, because I can never say this word. I don't. Anyway, he started just cracking up, and I go, "What's so funny?" He goes, "You're freaking Italian is what's funny." So,
It's time to go back. Oh, and the winter is the best time for us also without the guests. And, oh my God, Jason, part of Jason's problem with Italian is he can't read, write, or speak English. So.
Holy crap. Okay, here we go. Okay, here's how you say it. You ready? I have to get
idraulico.
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 Idraulico. Idraulico. God, I can never say that one. Idraulico. Idraulico.
Wow, this is an exciting podcast. Jesus, just going to repeat the word plumber.
I'm just going to look up words on the internet and read them back off. But I hope everyone had a wonderful beginning to the 2014 in the year of our Lord.
Everyone's detoxing. Everything on Facebook, Twitter. Detox, detox.
Listen, you have a lot of toxins, all right?
You do. Get the
and
toxins
those toxins
out.
Can build up in your body, okay? And if we don't expel those toxins.
I flush out the toxins with plenty of wine.
They have antioxidants. I know you guys, most of you don't want to hear this, but the weather has been absolutely beautiful in our neck of the woods.
I know, during the polar vortex of America.
Oh my God, the polar vortex. You mean, hold on.
I'm sure it's called Snowmageddon, all of these things.
Do you mean it gets cold in the winter? Is that what you're talking about?
It does, but wow. What a hype that did not deliver, I gotta say.
Don't say that. You just watched the... You just watched the football game.
That's
on Sunday.
True. That's it. That is it. I was but thinking, oh my gosh.
I'm sure there's someone listening right now in
that's
Chicago
freezing their ass off.
That's looking that's out like, at a frozen Lake Superior and being like, you dumb.
Waiting
SOB.
For their car to heat up as yeah, we're yeah, saying, yeah, yeah. It's not that cold. Get over it. God, New York, I do remember just how the buildings acted like tunnels and that wind would whip through. And sure enough, you'd be laying in bed and 10-10 winds tells you it's 10 degrees in the morning. You're like, oh, shit.
10-10 winds news time is 10 degrees. Real feel temperature minus 14.
It's the goddamn real feel that gets you every
it's
time.
It's the real feel. Anyway, it's been absolutely gorgeous here. It's
real
been
feel here is about
in the mid-50s. In the
real feel is actually
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, it was 14, 15 degrees yesterday, mid-50s, high-50s. And
we were sitting outside in the sun.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We'll pay for it, though. I feel like
oh, I know.
We're really going to pay in the end of the second half of January and February.
We'll get our polar vortex.
Definitely.
I know. God, 2 years ago with that Siberian storm. That just sat on top of us that I'm nervous. I am. But up in the Alps this year, they've got a lot of snow. We've been watching the stuff.
Yeah, they do have a lot of snow.
Cortina.
It's just been really mild. Like the chill, that wet cold is not here.
No, it's
just,
and it's so weird because we were talking to our friend Denise who lives in Umbria. And I said, God, the weather's been so nice. And she said, you're kidding, right? And I thought, Denise isn't one to be super dry or sense of humor. And I thought, what is she talking about? Of course I'm being serious. And she said they've had super fog. So we've just – and in Venice, it's been frozen and a little bit of snow. So I don't know. Maybe we're in a bit of a nice little triangle of warm weather this winter.
It's going to lull you to sleep, the fact that there's – like it's going to get you – it's in this like, oh, it's going to be beautiful all winter, and it's not going to be like that. We will pay.
I know.
We will pay. This week, we were supposed to go with the good doctor, the Godster, and Vittorio, who lives on the coast, one of Gaggi's good friends, to make sausages, our first round of sausages and salami. After the new year, every year, it's time to start making our homemade salamis and sausages for the season. Usually, we make 150, 180 kilo. We usually make about 50 kilo with Vittorio because he's in his mid-80s, and I can't...
Back to work, old man!
Get back in there! Let's go! We make about 50 kilo with him. Now, Gaggi does not like the fact that I am... I have my own equipment now and can make sausage and salami autonomously.
No, this is a personal attack.
It is a personal attack.
And he feels you are not ready. And you're not big boy enough, probably because... I don't know. Every time he tests you on the damn pepper. It's all about the pepper.
He's very concerned about the pepper rind, but he doesn't have...
It really is, though. Seriously, you guys. He will come by, and Jason will mention, okay, we're doing a couple, you know, we'll do 50 kilos with the Vittorio, and then... I'll do the rest myself. And it, God. You know how. Percoloso, it is so dangerous. Attenzione. Do you even know the pepper grind? And now...
I know. I get a goddamn sausage quiz.
Every time. And he just hoes at home, walks around the room, kind of smokes on his little tree branch cigars. And it's a, there's a lot of hemming and hawing involved.
I think he doesn't like that I... Well, two years ago now, I went out and got... We were at our friend Marco's house, and his next-door neighbor, she's an elderly woman, and her husband, who loved to do sausage and salamis of hobby like we do, had a meat grinder and a what they call a fettatrice, a meat grinder, and she also had a insaccatrice, which is the stuffer. It's a cylinder. It's a stainless steel cylinder tube with a nipple that goes on to the end and a crank and the and a plunger kind of. And this, as you turn the crank, the plunger goes down the cylinder, pushing out the meat that's inside through the tube into the casing. Not really. It's really simple machinery. And
I made a little short video.
You did make a short video. Yeah. And we restored it. So now I'm ready to go. I can do it whenever I want by myself. And this does not.
Oh, no.
Sit well. I've only been doing it. He tells me you've only been doing it for 6 years. Like, well, I don't know. But, you know, what am I going to wait? I've got 25 years under my belt and I've only made them, you know, with Vittorio. I can't do it myself. I'm a big boy. I won't kill anyone.
What does Gotti like to say? That for every job in Italy, there's three people. There's the person who is doing it, the apprentice, and the person who watches. Something like that. So for him, you need to be the apprentice quite a bit longer.
Oh, I would say I would probably have to get into the low 20s as far
as... Oh, of years?
Years.
Yeah,
before
sure,
I'm ready
sure.
to... But yes, in a way, I understand. It does. It takes half a lifetime, you know, to learn how to really do something. But I can't tell this poor little old man... I need 125 kilo of salami and sausages.
I know your hands hurt, Vittorio.
I know. I know your back hurts, but let's get back in there. So we'll go down. I'll make some lunch. We'll go down to Vittorio's and we'll make our first round and put them up. But
this begins the talk of the sausages, salamis, and charcuterie for the season.
Absolutely.
Mark my words.
The problem was we were supposed to do it today. In fact, the 8th of January, the 9th of January. I'm sorry. Thursday, but since the Epiphany was on Monday and the New Year and Christmas, there are no pigs to be had. There's no meat. So they have to start slaughtering pigs again before we can do it, which is kind of funny. Like,
it is.
You never
the
think
choice of meat is done.
Yeah, meat is, you don't, there's no, you have to kill a pig to have meat for sausages, which of course you do, but being American, or just my mentality always goes, well, of course there's meat. Why wouldn't there be meat?
Yeah, there's
always
pigs.
Meat.
There's meat. There's pigs. And so Gaji was right. You know, the choice meat is gone for the holidays. So we wait another couple weeks. And
he said by the middle of next week it should be back.
Which is about 2 weeks then after the holidays. And speaking of time after the holidays, we tried to send a box. And you just forget that there's Befana. We sent a box around Christmas. And man, with the Befana holidays and New Year's, it took forever for it to get from Holland to us.
2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. And then what's hysterical is we went there because we live so far out in the country. This new, not new delivery system, but new delivery guy who works. It's funny how you know when there's a new delivery guy because your packages just don't arrive anymore. The old guy knew the drill. Just leave him at Cafe Del Corso.
Hold on. We'll explain. Our
our address doesn't exist.
If you look up our address, number 3, Cacamone, Piobico, Italy, you get nothing on the GPS.
No, and we don't even use the number 3. We just use Cacamone, which is the name of the house. And so that's why good luck to all you trying to find us this summer. We don't exist.
No, if you try to send a letter to us or mail, all you have to put is... Jason or Ashley or Lotta Villamarche, Piobico, Italy, Cacamone.
Oh, yeah. It would come to us. If you just put our names in Piobico, it would come to us. People at the post office know us. But for a package, Oh, it can be a headache. Also, sometimes there's the taxes that they put on. So sometimes it gets stuck. Sometimes they want extra money for the delivery. Sometimes they deliver it at the cafe and don't ever tell you. It takes.
In fact, there's our.
In fact, you're right. My sister sent a box, and yeah, there is
it's
one
sitting
right
at
there.
The cafe right now.
So we go to the. We're waiting for this box from family for Christmas, and we go to the, not postal center, but the kind of package delivery center, and it is a. I don't know any other word but cluster F. It's just.
There are people everywhere.
There's people
who
everywhere.
Want their packages. Because from what we could
this was
figure
before
out,
between New Year's and Bethana.
Yeah. So between the 1st of January and the 6th of January, from what we figured, no packages have gone out of that warehouse in days.
Days. And they were.
There was quite a few people complaining
yes.
and moaning, where's my package? When is it going to be delivered?
Now, I will give them benefit of the doubt. We arrived without any sort of tracking number. Do you have a box with my name on it?
I'm Ashley. Go get it.
Ashley. We're the Americans. So that was a little bit my bad. But what was hysterical was to listen to the conversations being had and when they would tell different people, Monday's the holiday. Tuesday, we'll kind of start getting our act together. Wednesday will probably start delivering, so most likely you'll see your package on Thursday.
Never mind that this is a working day, and why don't you guys fill your trucks with the packages in the warehouse today?
I don't know.
So then when everyone gets to the work on Tuesday after the Epiphany, after the holiday,
you're ready to go.
You jump in your truck, start the engine, and do your job. Deliver packages.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to go in the back and just look for my box so bad. And
the guy looked
that
at
was
you,
frowned
like,
upon.
You got to be kidding me. It was awesome. But whatever. Our package came. It's just the little funny things that make me smile and laugh sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And being said, the guy did take the time, 5 minutes or so, to go look for a tracking numberless package just in a sea of 2,000 other boxes. So it still was... It was still nice in its own right that he tried, but
it's the process.
It's
hysterical.
Exactly. It's exactly.
It is the process that is absolutely.
So speaking of Bethana, this year was one of the warmest Bethanas we've had since we've moved.
La Bethana is the celebration of Epiphany. The legend has it that La Bethana lives in Urbana, which is our little neighboring town,
and where we do all of our grocery shopping.
Between the night of the 5th and the 6th, she comes to your house and either leaves you chocolates and candies and small gifts for the good people, or for the bad people, she leaves coal.
Carbone.
She leaves coal. And on her way out, she cleans your house.
She does. You leave some sweets and some wine and cookies for her, like you would milk and cookies for Santa. And she's... leaves little presents for the good little girls and boys in the stockings hung by the chimney. Sounds familiar, I know. And yet, La Bethana cleans your house, and I could get down with that.
And she's an old, ugly witch.
She's an old, ugly, lone woman.
She's a good witch.
But she's good. Exactly. And what we love so much is in Urbana, since this is the home, as legend has it, of Bethana, they get all dressed up, and our favorite thing is to see the old men in town dress up as this ugly old lady because it's just hysterical. And they dance on stilts. They have parades through town. She descends from the clock tower. And this year, since it was so nice and sunny, we grabbed the old tape recorder. since 87.
Camcorder.
Camcorder. We grabbed the camera and some of the audio equipment and did some man on the street interviews. So I edited a short little 30-second Bethana video for fun.
Teaser trailer.
A little teaser. But
I'm going to drink your coffee again.
No, he always does. But the rest of the video will be out in the next couple days with kind of some interviews on who is Bethana, what does she bring, and what did she bring you this year? So I'm excited. It'll be fun. So this time, this is a video which is incorporating the audio in Italian and English subtitles. So I think it'll be really fun for both Italians and stranieri.
That La Bethana Festival is what sold me on this area. We were here looking.
It's true.
We were here in 2006, 2005, maybe.
2006.
2006, looking in the area for places. And we came – we had no idea that this was going on. We had no idea about Epiphany. Like, no one celebrates Epiphany in the States, really.
No.
Unless you're super religious, I would imagine.
And I went to Catholic school my entire life.
You guys never did Epiphany?
No.
Really?
Well, I mean, it was like a church day at school, man, but I wouldn't be able to tell you much about it.
St. Aljohn's. You should get your money back, man. Anyone from Seattle, St. Aljohn's does not teach...
You're combining two schools. St. Alphonsus.
St. Alphonsus does not teach their children geography. And 20 years later...
That's true.
Every time there's some weird Catholic thing, I turn to Ashley and say, hey, what's going on with here? She goes, I don't know.
On a side note, I've learned more from my Swiss Air In Flight magazine.
from geography? Oh,
geography.
Ashley, how many years of parochial school?
Kindergarten through eighth grade. Or kindergarten through high school and then private college as well.
So you're talking 14, 15 years.
Yep.
And
never once took a geography class, and very much so that Swiss Air In Flight map.
And how about the how about all the Catholic stuff? Don't remember half of it.
Body of Christ.
Eat them, baby, eat them. I think we should get into the Eucharist making. I think this is a
unleavened bread.
No.
Oh, you want to sell it to the church?
Yeah. I want to make.
You want to get in on that?
Hell yeah! How many Eucharists are eaten every year, and how much competition would you really have?
I don't know.
Do you think the Vatican has that on lockdown, or do you think
I think
open
that's
market?
On lockdown.
You think the Eucharist making is on lockdown?
Hell yeah. I shouldn't be saying hell when we're talking about the body of Christ.
All right. Well, I'm gonna do a little research into that, maybe see if I can get in.
Side job? A little side work?
A little side work, you know. Listen, I got discount Eucharist. Come here. What are you paying? I'll undercut him.
Back to the festival.
Anyway, La Befana. It sold us. Why did it sold us? Because it is this beautiful festival in the middle of winter, in the middle of nowhere. And we were just driving back to wherever we were staying, I think in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And we came across Urbana, and there were cars for kilometers
and we just
kilometers.
Pulled over. We said, well, I guess we're stopping.
Obviously, there's something going on here. And it was just this beautiful festival, and we watched the fireworks at the end, and the La Befana descends from the top of the church into the crowd. That's when we found out. Do you remember that?
Yes. We were with my sister was here with us too, and we kind of did a circa 90-something Arsenio Hall, whooped it up.
As the La Befana starts coming down, the three of us start cheering and
hooting and hollering big
like
time.
There's no tomorrow, except the rest of the crowd falls dead silent. Now, I don't know why, if this is a cultural thing. Now, I know we're loud, fat Americans, so we hoot and holler and whistle and yip and yell and all that. But before Befana started descending, everyone was joining us. As soon as she started moving,
silence,
except for the three Americans that everyone then turns and stares
at. My God. It was hysterical because we just thought, we were like, woo, woo. We were hooping it, hollering it up.
The whistle?
Yes. And all eyes turned to us. And then we had to try to slink out of there just like, my bad. And it was obvious. And my sister's taller than I. And if you know, I'm pretty tall. So it was very obvious who was making this noise and that we were big, huge foreign people. Time to go. Time to go.
So if you're every year, if you are in Italy for the 6th, the home of La Befana is said to be in Urbana, but I think there are other Befana festivals.
Oh, yes. Many festivals.
In fact, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just mention the guy who decided to be La Befana in southern Italy. And so some guy decided to try to be...
He was a firefighter, right?
Befana, dressed in the Befana costume, the old witch costume. I forget. I should look it up. It's on the local. We'll talk about that in a minute. Started descending from the top of the church. His rope broke, and he fell into the crowd. Befana. Not a funny story. But
not a funny ha-ha story.
It was... Guess that wasn't appropriate at
all. No, thanks for sharing, Jason. I was going to go back to Befana and talk more about the food. Let's talk about Crostolo, because that's one of my favorite things to get at Befana.
I thought we talked about Crostolo in Piadina.
I'm not sure if we have, but we could do it again real quick.
Okay. Urbana is famous for its Crostolo, which is a type of almost like a tortilla, except instead of just fat, flour, and salt, it's got egg, leavening, and...
Strutto.
So it's fat, salt, flour, egg, and like something to make it rise a little bit. And they're very famous for them in this Montefeltro area.
Now, two doors down, you call it Piadina.
Well, Piadina is different. Piadina is just fat, salt, and flour, just like a regular flat, like very similar to a flour tortilla.
But if you went to, for example, Rome and said, I mean, I could be out speaking my ranks here, but I think if you were in Rome and you said, I'll take a Cristolo, they would look at you like, unless they have that name for something else completely, it's not what you're going to get here. When we first moved, we went to Piobico and asked for Cristolo, and they were like, what are you talking? They looked at us like we had two heads, and we thought, we're talking 10 kilometers, if that, away, is where they make Cristolo, and these people had no idea what we were talking about.
And Piadina is Romagnolo. Mm-hmm. It's from Romagna. Emilia and Romagna. Cristolo, I think, is more from our Montefeltro area.
Yes.
And then outside of this little pocket, I don't know. I've never seen...
Oh, and I love the Cristolo that they make, or I don't even know what they call it, but with polenta, and I know I've mentioned that on the podcast before.
It's a polenta. It's one, yeah. It's
that really one is good. Really good.
Anyway, so that's the typical food.
And you would put... So they put it on a... Like
hot grill.
Hot grill.
Or over coals.
And then you melt some prosciutto. You put thin slices of prosciutto and it kind of melts in. Or even better, grilled sausages.
Grilled sausages and wild greens.
Smokes, folks. That is what you order. What else is delicious? The castagne or marrone.
The roasted chestnuts over... Chestnuts are roasted by...
Do you know the difference between the two?
Marrone, I believe, are bigger.
Is it a dialect? Is
I don't know.
You're, okay.
I can start BSing.
You can make it up.
You can't. People have a computer in their pocket. You can't just start talking bullshit.
What I love is in the video that we'll be posting, we got some of this too, but they have these cool machines that split the put a quick split in the skin of the chestnut.
So when you roast it, they open up.
Exactly. And see them over the big hot coals. It's pretty cool raking them.
Chestnuts are great a couple few times a year, right? When you go to these things, you get a little cone of them with a glass of vin brulé or hot spiced wine, and it's delicious. But
oh, yeah. The guy lit the vin brulé on fire this time.
OMG.
It was cool. Oh, God. So we were doing this thing, trying to take video and everything, and trying to get the audio down. And there's these two guys who are really animated and...
Younger guys.
Young guys.
Probably our age or younger.
Youngsters.
They're not that young anymore.
I guess not.
Like, what would you consider... What would you consider a young guy? 35 and under? Because that's... All right.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'd say 32 and under.
So that puts me just right outside... Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You're
thank
an
you.
Old guy.
Yeah. Just right outside of the young guy. Sweet.
And so these guys are really nice, and we said, listen, we're making a little video to promote the area and whatnot. Do you guys speak English? And we'd love to interview you for our thing. And they said, yes. And they you know, just beautiful Italian, they're Italians, but beautiful Italian accent when they speak English. They're from Cagliari, and like I said, really animated. And so Jason hands me the recording machine.
Well, let's set this up. Our audio, we have separate audio from video. So the camera takes a beautiful video, but the audio is terrible. So we have what's called a digital audio recorder, which is just this little thing that you plug a microphone into, and it records the audio separately.
I call it the audio box. Jason reminds me that's wrong every time, but it is what it is. So he hands me the box, and I shove it in their face, and we have a great little interview. And I'm thinking, oh, this is gold. This is gold. He's saying how Bafana is born in Urbania, the city known as Castella Durante. And he's speaking so beautiful. And I'm just thinking, oh, yeah, money, money. I hit the button to turn it, you know, click it off, hand it back to Jason. We go to watch the video. Staring right in his face is the blinking sign. I never hit start for the audio.
It's in standby.
However, when the interview's over, I sure turn that bad boy on with purpose and hand it back to Jason to put it in his pocket. So, didn't get any of the great interview, but
we got plenty of good stuff.
We got plenty of good stuff.
We're really practicing. We're trying to get better at our video, you know, just getting using our tools really to get video. It's not as easy as it sounds.
No, and the camera gets heavy and shaky at times, so.
And everything's happening real fast and there's people everywhere, so.
But Italians are wonderful to film, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, but my hat's off to people who make video for it. It's not easy at all.
No. and you're carrying around a lot of equipment and you get hot and yeah, Jason was doing the man on the street stuff. And people are, Italians are wonderful because they look,
they're very vain.
They look at me on camera. These girls just come up to us and they're like, are you interviewing people? Like, we just had a camera on a tripod and a microphone, and people were just coming up to him wanting to be interviewed. It was really funny, but it was a good time, so I'm excited to finish putting that together for everyone.
The new year, as well as Bafana and sausages, brings blood oranges from Sicily.
Yes.
It's one of the best parts of the winter is that blood orange season will start. What they call here the cheap oranges are absolutely delicious.
Jason's jumping the gun. I don't think they're ready yet, to
be honest.
They're
not ready. I got it.
The arancini are going good right now.
You mean the clementines.
The clementines.
Clementines and mandarincini are delicious. We eat them every night after dinner.
And ask the person at the market. For the most part, they'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, there's usually 3 or 4 different types of mandarincini or clementini.
And they'll be like 10 to 20 cent price different.
Get the ones with the
seeds.
No, get the ones with the leaves still attached.
Mm-hmm.
And just feel them. When you peel it, if the oil from the skin just squirts everywhere, that means if it squirts you in the eye with the oil from the skin as you're opening them,
ooh, that's good.
That's good. If you smell, as soon as you start peeling that skin, if you just smell orange in the air,
that's good too.
That's good too. Don't worry if the skin feels a little baggy, because that's sometimes the type of clementine or mandarincini it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Oh, man. I'll just eat like 3 to 5 of them at a time.
Well, they're tiny.
I know. I love them, though.
But we are all about excess. If some is good, more is better.
That's coming from Cookie Monster himself.
So we're really excited to start that up, and as well as our cooking classes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been doing the online classes, which have been going really great. And
has it, Ashley? Do tell me more.
Well, no, I don't mean to say it like that, but I am just really pleasantly surprised at the response we've gotten, and so many wonderful podcast listeners who have joined in to take the class. We appreciate it. You guys are awesome because you really jump to action for these things, and
we're few, but we're few in numbers, but we're very in
forte.
Engaged. We're engaged.
Siamo forte, but we're strong. And the first one, we had a few technical difficulties, of course. And the second one, I think we worked it out a little more smooth. We got the audio down. Jason didn't have to have a standing mic and stand
or my audio box tied around my neck with kitchen twine. So the next one we're going to do, we're going to add another camera. We'll have a 2-camera shoot now, so I don't have to grab the camera and shove it into a pot. We'll have one stationed above the cutting board / stove, and then the wide shot coming in on me. We're going to continue. We'll work out the interface that we're using, and it's and we will start doing it again. We'll return on the 19th. So
yeah, we're using GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar.
Brought to you by Citrix.
And we're still kind of playing with the idea of Google Hangouts. So we're not sure. We might play with that platform this week as just a bit of a test. But the classes will be $5, and we feel like that's a nice price and to keep us keep the technology moving and
how
the equipment up.
How bad did I stumble over?
You
all
really
that
did. I know.
Like, I just at the very end, I just like started swallowing my tongue.
I know. That, and you get nervous. Really,
well, once you break, like I just did to you, once you break your train of thought. And you start fumbling, and you know that, holy crap, this is live and everyone is seeing.
Like, and it's unraveling, like, and you're just, asking you
just,
for money.
Yeah, yeah. I just see everything unraveling. And it was like at the very end, I did this whole hour where I'd never shut up for 1 hour, and I enunciated and spoke clearly. And in the last 30 seconds, it will cost $5. Just because,
and I was like, keep it short, wrap it up. You don't even have to say anything.
I see Ashley behind the camera. Her eyes start getting wide. Like,
what is he doing? Wrap it up. And I was like, oh my God. Otherwise, I'm going to just switch the camera over to me and take over. Because I just thought, he won't shut up. He won't stop talking.
Anyway, they're going to be $5. If you feel like it's not worth it, I understand. Don't take the class. It's a very, very modest sum for what we're putting out. And yeah. We're going to get better. We're going to practice all this. We're practicing this week.
Listen, and I think it's totally worth it. These are not just online recipes or cooking videos that you're watching. It's an interactive class. And you can ask Jason questions along the way. And he's cooking it live right there with you. So it's a completely different format than a regular cooking show or just a video on how to, you know, make a whatever, X, Y, or Z. So it's, I think that
It's bananas. It's bananas that I'm sitting here live.
Oh my God. It's insane. First of all, that we even have internet and that we even get mail delivered to our house. We're still surprised. And the mail is hit or miss, as we talked about before. So to have internet and
it's 6 months. We've only had this internet, this kind of capabilities for about 6 months. So.
Imagine if we had had this the whole time.
Oh, if we've been doing this for 6 years, yeah, we'd be much better at it. I wouldn't be fumbling over the last 30 seconds.
No, but it's fun. And I want to know, we talked about getting some GoPro cameras too. I want to be able to, well, even with these little webcams, I want to also be able to take the cooking class outside. Like come the summer and do the, you know, a salad that you pick in the garden and make it right there. I think some of that will be really fun to incorporate also just because it's so different.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing that we have going for us is we're in Italy. I mean, we're really here. It's not like I'm just some schmo in Dallas, Texas who blah, blah, blah. But
what's wrong with Texas?
Nothing. God damn it. I love Texas. I do. I love the Lone Star State. Are you kidding me? But it'll be fun. The next one will be the 19th of January. Should we announce the menu?
Yeah.
Okay. So for this class coming up, we're going to be doing a roasted butternut squash salad. It's a warm room temperature salad. You roast the butternut squash separately. You make a in a bowl, you'll slice some red onion and you'll sit and garlic and blah blah blah, and we'll put a little vinegar. It's this class is really, there's a lot going on, or this class, this dish, there's a lot going on. It's two parts to it. You have the onions that soak and break down in the vinegar, and then that's paired with the roasted root vegetables. So lots of flavors, lots of things happening in that dish. And then to go with it, we're going to be doing fish in the salt crust.
This beautiful.
Is beautiful, super simple, super duper simple.
Well, we chose fish because a lot of people, even in our cook, especially in the cooking classes that arrive in person, people are really, I shouldn't say afraid, but timid.
No one knows
or intimidated by fish. No one knows
fish,
how to cook fish or even what to ask for. You know, this is why these online classes are awesome, because it's like I was saying, it's not just a recipe. Jason goes into the why. Why are we doing this? What to look for when you're buying the fish, and the techniques along the way and the theories behind the recipes that he's sharing. So it's pretty cool. So it's more than just a fish and salt crust recipe.
And it's not salty.
No. That's the other question we get with that one. Is it salty?
No, it's not salty. You can use any whole round fish versus a flat fish. Like sole is a flat fish. Trout is a round fish. So you could use trout. You could use bronzino, which is a type of sea bass. You can use orata. What's orata? You could use a catfish. I mean, you could use any small whole fish that's not flat.
And I think that it's really important. I think that we will use the podcast event some of our thoughts and things here as well. But I think it's really important to, if you are interested in taking one of these classes or when you're looking at the menu, to keep in mind there is a method behind Jason's madness of his menu choices. So something like the potato cabbage mash, people might think, why the hell are we doing mashed potatoes
on
a cooking class?
Paying you?
Yeah. Or even, like we talked about before, the chicken liver. He's got a method. There's something behind it. There's a technique in there. There's a process. There's something that is more than meets the eye. So when you see in a couple weeks when we go to do rabbit, for example, haters stay behind. I don't want to hear all the mail of, I don't eat little bunny foo-foo.
Haters are gonna hate.
There's a reason why he's teaching you to make rabbit. So
open your horizons a little bit. Try something different, and it's all about the technique. I'm choosing these recipes for their technique, not necessarily for because that recipe's sexy or beautiful.
What about kale? Let's do something with hot kale.
Oh my God, did you hear there's a new vegetable called kale?
What about, and I heard of something called quinoa. I think it's brand new.
Quinoa.
It's brand new, though.
All right, stop.
Don't be a jerk. Sorry. We're not going to be haters. We're not going to be jokers.
19th of January, and Ashley is going to blast that out today. And you'll, if you follow us on Twitter or all the social media, you can't miss it. You will be bombarded with this cooking class.
Speaking of can't miss, you can't miss our April Cooking holiday, April 24th to 28th, is kind of the, not kickoff of the season, but the kickoff of our cooking class, kind of packages for 2014. And this is a wild edibles, and bottling wine.
It's time to start new year, time to start thinking about vacation.
Yeah, it is. And April's gorgeous here, especially the end of April. Sometimes we have nice weather. The poppies are starting to come. There's no, the tourists haven't started.
Smart travelers will come in April and May. Gorgeous. Families come in the summertime.
It might still be a little chilly at nights or things, but it's a really cool time to come because in April,
everything's
that,
waking up.
It's exactly. There's still that early excitement to the new season happening. And it's really fun. Everyone's out and about. Rome is gorgeous, for example, in April, I think.
And Jason and Ashley are fresh and chipper. It's
whoa,
a new
we
season.
Are. We really are. Come early and we're really nice. Jason's super nice and talks to people. But it's going to be really fun. So we forage for wild edibles, things like wild radicchio and papavero, like the poppy greens and the dandelion greens.
I think it's papavero.
That's what I thought. That's
did
what
you
I
say,
said.
Sorry? Well, and, I'm sorry. I know people.
And the nettle.
People don't let you slide on things.
Oh, that's the truth. But so we'll be making things like wild greens and ricotta and prosciutto tart, or taking the young stinging nettle and mixing it with ricotta and making a beautiful ravioli. So we'll be doing a pasta class and a full meal kind of dinner party. So two cooking classes, the foraging for wild edibles, and then folks, we need your help because during these 4 days is when we also bottle hundreds of liters of local red, white, and rosé. So we go and collect all the wine from our favorite local winemakers, and then we need help bottling, corking, siphoning,
labeling, drinking, spilling,
drinking. And more drinking. It is really fun, though. And I've got a video, actually, of both of those things, foraging for the greens and a short little cooking class with it, as well as the bottling of the wine on YouTube and Vimeo. And check it out, because it's really fun. And we would love to have you guys join us, and we'll send you guys home with some bottles of wine, too. So shoot me an email if anyone's interested in joining that. There's a couple spaces left still.
A couple of things I wanted to mention. Some interesting things if you're an Italian junkie and you really like to keep, you know, follow all things Italian, try a website called The Local. We are not do you know the person who puts this on?
No, I just know a few of the writers.
Okay. It's in Italy's news in English, and it's called The Local, thelocal.it. And it's just kind of local Italian news, but written in English. So
short stories, but
you can click on them expand. But you'll get more coverage than just like BBC World or BBC Europe or even.
Well, and if you're thinking of moving to Italy, this would be a great site to follow on Facebook or Twitter. If you're thinking about coming and you just want to get a bit of culture and kind of pop culture and news, what's going on. Or if you want to see the top 10 Italian ski resorts, things like that. So it's a whole mix.
Yeah, it's a mix of real news and just, you know, kind of the fluffy stuff. But funny. I just went to the front page and Seattle's favorite murderer, allegedly, is back in the news. Amanda Knox.
Your friend, yes?
Your friend, Foxy Knoxy, yeah?
Yes. Since I'm from Washington, from Seattle, everyone when we moved would say, yes, we know your friend. Amanda Knox, yes.
Oh my god, this is what drives me crazy about Italy. It's awesome. They're Amanda Knox retrial ruling set for January 20th. Awesome.
In a country with no money,
they're going to drag this thing
out. In an economic crisis.
It's theater and it's the prosecuting attorney is the guy who convicted. They're not going to extradite her. Let's see here. Good God, people start to report. Oh, it's the, they all say that the prosecutor is trying to get like fame. Listen, I don't know what happened. This thing's been going on forever. Can we please move on? She's got crazy eyes. Look into that woman's eyes. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Whether they killed that poor girl or not, I have no idea. But obviously these people can't get their act together to either prosecute her. They put her in jail for 4 years, let her out, and then a year and a half later said, we're going to...
Right, my bad. We got to do that again.
We got to
redo. Redo, guys. Take two.
Jesus.
But my favorite headline was actually the one right next to it where it said drug dealer chooses prison over nagging wife. So
where does it say that?
Scroll up. It was
drug dealer chooses prison over nagging wife.
Keep going. Right there.
There it is.
Begs for jail. Sorry.
To escape nagging wife. All right. Very good. Very good.
Oh, so check good
it
times,
out.
Good times.
Check it out. TheLocal.it. Mm-hmm. You want to? I think that's it. We got to get going.
I know. It's 10:10.
Why don't you talk about our song for this week?
Sure. The song of the week is Zucchero. Now,
that's not the song.
No, you're right. Sorry. The artist of the week is Zucchero. And the song is Baco per Baco. I always try to sing unsuccessfully. Baco per Baco. And Zucchero is probably the most well-known, internationally well-known Italian rock star who I think now, you know, we're light on facts here. I think he's the most, collaborated Italian artist,
like with who's he collaborated
like
with?
He has collaborated with Clapton, Sting, Pavarotti, Miles Davis, Sheryl Crow, John Lee Hooker, one of my faves. And, he's got a really raspy voice. And he also covers songs like, he'll redo Guantanamero and different Hispanic songs and Latin songs that are just with his raspy voice, it just takes on a whole different sound.
He's been around forever. He's been around since in the 70s and 80s and even today, like Zucchero, which means sugar, and his name is not Zucchero. It's his nickname.
It's his nickname given to him by his school teacher, elementary school teacher. He was probably just a sweet boy. And
they call him Sugar. Anyway.
Oh, Sugar.
If you go on to, like, if you go to Spotify, what is this?
Spotify, YouTube.
Yeah, any of those. If you're in the car, type in Zucchero. Can you spell it?
Yeah, Z-U-C-C-H-E-R-O.
And you just go to his greatest hits or go on to iTunes, his greatest hits. It's really great. So we're going to play what?
Baco per Baco.
Baco per Baco. This is a pretty famous one.
Yep.
I know you guys will enjoy that one. It's last week. We're all over the place.
We are. Last week was a bit of like kind of an oldies kind of Elvis-y feel.
We did the three tenors around Christmas. Uh-huh. What else? Did we do a sweet song?
I think we did Lo Puntamento, one of the first ones, or Sono Italiano.
Sono Italiano. Yeah. So we're definitely all over the place.
I'll keep them coming. I love putting out these random songs.
All right, do shout outs and then bring us home.
All right, shout outs to Cheryl in Seattle. We know you're blowing your glass, and we are just so thankful that you are listening to us. She's a glass blower.
Thank you. Much better. That's a much better way to say that.
Well, I just wanted to catch her off guard real quick. She's sent us a great letter saying that she is a glass worker in Seattle, which is just wild. You know, it's just such a small world, and that she gets a kick out of us talking about the great Northwest, where I'm from, and the Hawks and all of that. So we just wanted to say we're thinking of you. And hey, put on Facebook a link to your glassworks. That stuff's always interesting. I think it's beautiful.
Shout out to my fat brother, Fat Zach. He's not really fat, but he should be.
He should be.
He should be much fatter than he actually is. Yep.
He wants a shout out, Matt.
He does want a shout out. We made him listen to our whole... My brother, our families are not very engaged in what we do. Like,
no.
They're like, yeah, we have to listen to you two all the time. So we don't need to listen to your podcast. We don't need to watch your videos.
Yeah, I don't think my sister would ever want to listen to a podcast.
Hell no. So we told him that I told my brother, I gave him a shout out. You got to listen to our podcast if you want to hear your shout out. And
shockingly, he listened.
He listened to the whole thing and calls me the next day. Freaking liar. Where's my shout out? So, Zach.
He said you mentioned that you mentioned about sandwiches and then you called it your idea. He was also kind of offended because he says the sandwich shops, both of their ideas.
Zach, this is a shout out to Zach and Harlem Dog, who are probably walking together in freezing Queens, New York as we speak. Listen, if anyone wants a shout out, if you're a cheese ball like Ashley, just email her. She will.
I love it. Sometimes I want to tell more shout outs. But I don't want to give people's last names. You know, you never know. So if you just tell me the name in your city or something, I love giving shout outs. So
you're going to get 30 people who are going to just say, hi, my name's Dave. Shout out.
Right on. I'm loving it. I'd love a shout out. We listen to all these different podcasts. And like Rich Eisen does an international shout out for the NFL podcast. And I'm always thinking, I know I've never written to him, but I'm always secretly hoping we'll be his international shout out, even though he doesn't know who we are, or Bill Burr, or these things. So I love it. Why not?
Now, who is the real person? Zach
Cheryl.
Doesn't count. Cheryl. All right, Cheryl from Seattle, keep on making beautiful glass and send us some pictures or a link. We'll put it up.
Yes.
Bring us home, and then we'll play the music going out.
All right, sounds good. You can find us at info@latavolamarche. Email me there for details on our upcoming online cooking classes or our 2014 calendar of events, starting with April's wild edibles and bottling wine package. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo. Google.
What is it?
I don't know.
We know that you're technologically proficient. You can find us.
If you're listening to this, you can find us. We know it.
Why was that so hard? Technologically proficient.
I don't know.
Like I can't speak two languages today.
That's already apparent.
Thank you so much for downloading. We really appreciate it. If you enjoy what you hear, tell a friend, spread the word. If you know another person in your life who loves Italy as much as you do and would find this podcast or what we do interesting, please pass along our information. Because of you, we will make this thing grow and we will continue to put out content and
keep the questions coming.
Do the best we absolutely can to promote these beautiful people and this beautiful country and this beautiful region.
We love it.
So we're going to play it out. Zucchero, Bacco per Bacco. That's it.
Arrivederci.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time. Ciao.
Ci vuole qualche cosa di più. Vuole un po' di pushing, pushing, quando il sole va giù. Ci vedi qualche cosa di positivo in uno. Ci vuole un po' di catch and funk, quando il sole no, no.